Well, the song that the choir sang, "Should Lift Your Spirits This Morning," I mean, that was a peppy song. So, thank you, choir. Good job. All right. This morning, we're going to be looking at rewarded according to our deeds, and that's according to the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. There's some profound things that goes on in this scriptures today, and I hope each one of us we'll understand where Jesus is coming from in this particular parable. It's one that you've heard of throughout your life probably, and probably hadn't thought of recently and so forth, but it's always to go back and look at these parables to see what is going on here versus what's relevant in now and in the future. And if you see what's going on within the world today, it makes you let you understand that we are getting closer and closer to eternity, the end times. Now, I'm not prophesying this morning. I'm not telling you the date or anything like that. I'm just telling you what the scriptures say. And I try to keep in touch with scriptures and what is going on today with the prophecies and from the Old Testament to Revelation, because it is being unveiled before our eyes as I speak. And we just got to be prepared and ready and not be surprised when we see things happen in the world as they are now. So, follow along with me. Beginning in chapter 16, I'll begin with verse 19, which again talks about the rich man and Lazarus, and I titled it Rewarded According to Our Deeds, because it does talk about that in our scriptures here this morning. So beginning with verse 19, it says, "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyfully living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried in Hades," and that is the Greek word for hell. And there's another Hebrew and Greek word, Gehenna, is also related to the word hell as well. So, in Hades, or hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool off my tongue, for I am agony in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your life you have received the good things, and likewise Lazarus the bad things. But now he is being comforted." Now, comforted, that means he's in heaven. He's been sustained. That Psalms 23:6 says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That word "dwell" means to settle down, be at home. So that's what this Lazarus being comforted in heaven. "And you are in agony." Verse 26, "And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great chasm or gulf fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able to, and that none may cross over from here to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father Abraham," he's talking to, "that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Thus saith the word. So this morning, as we look at this particular passage of scripture, rewarded according to our deeds, it's taken from the rich man and Lazarus. And all of us are going to be rewarded according to our deeds when this life is over. And to give you what the scripture says, Christians will be rewarded for their deeds, the good things that we've done as far as ministry, reaching out, showing compassion to the ones in need, the lost. Lost people, if they leave this world unsaved, then they will not be rewarded according to their deeds, but they will be punished. Judgment will come upon them according to the sins that they committed while here on earth, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. So some will enter into heaven and others will not, according to the scriptures, and this rich man did not. So if people choose to live for Christ, then they will enter into heaven. But if they choose to live for themselves, just like this wise rich man, they will enter hell because they chose to live for themselves. Now, this message stresses the reality of eternity. I mean, I can't stress it any other way. This message stresses the reality of eternity, but it also emphasizes the place where those who don't know Jesus Christ will be separated from him. It is my hope this morning that we will gain a better understanding of the place called hell, or Hades, or Gehenna, that we might realize that if we fail to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, then we'll spend eternity separated from him. And that in itself would be terrible, would be torment, just to be separated, not along with all the other things that will be taking place in the place called Hades. So now let's look at true riches are of the heart. True riches of the heart. In verses 19 through 21, here we see Jesus directed this parable to the Pharisees. Put the rich man beside the Pharisees, and you see the things that's going on within their lives. What was the priority? To whom he was speaking just prior to sharing these words. Now, in verse 19, it mentions a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. Now, to clarify where Jesus is coming from here, this purple dye was obtained from a purple fish. And it was very costly, and the clothing made from Egyptian linens. This is how this man lived. He lived with the best, and that was his life. So in describing the luxury robes of the Pharisee, Jesus was attacking the way of their life, their lifestyle. That's what they chose. They chose this over Christ, just like the rich man. Now, they thought of themselves as being more righteous because they knew the law. And Jesus didn't counteract that by saying, I'm abolishing the law, but he said, I came to fulfill the law, not abolish it. But that was their lifestyle. That was only what they were seeking in life. So they thought themselves more righteous as they saw their wealth as a blessing from God, and they saw poverty as a curse. Now, in verses 20 and 21, we read the beggar named Lazarus was laid at the gate of the rich man, and he had sores all over him. Can you imagine that? This man was tormented with the sores and the sickness in his life. And since he laid at the gate, we can gather that he was crippled and maybe helpless with this disease. And the Pharisees saw the illness as a curse, and they looked down on his sickness. They also failed to consider his poverty might have been due to his sickness, and that probably was the reason he was unable to work, because he was crippled and sores and had his whole life was wrecked by illness. So Jesus, when you look at this particular parable, and it's relevant to us today as well, Jesus was illustrating that neither wealth nor poverty, health or illness are blessing or a curse from God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, for God makes his sun to rise on the evil, on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And we've all heard this particular verse before, and it happens all the time. And so many say, why does Christians suffer? Why does nations like Israel suffer? Well, this scripture describes it. God is no respecter of person, but he respects those who come to him, comes to his son, Jesus Christ, and forgives them of their sins, and they will have status in eternity with him one of these days. But while we're on this earth, that verse pretty well clarifies it, doesn't it? It sure does. That the sun rises on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. So when we look at this particular parable this morning, neither a person's financial status or health condition determines his or her righteousness. Now, as I was thinking about the righteousness of God, I mean, God is righteous in all way. And when I look at David, Shepherd David, he was a man after God's own heart. So righteousness is the matter of the heart.
That's right.
It's what it is. It's the matter of the heart. And Lazarus is the only character in any of the parables who is given a name. And I looked, and that's the only one I can. Lazarus is the only one given in the parables that's given a name. His name, and it's Lazarus. And his name is similar to Eliezer, which means God is my help. Now, I read you some scriptures this morning pertaining to Israel, and God said, I will help you. See, God will help those who belong to him, who is special in their lives. And we're all special because he sent Jesus Christ in our life into this world to save us from our sins. So he came into this world to help us if we are willing to yield or surrender our lives to him. Now, Lazarus was a poor man, but he relied on God for everything he had. That's why he ended up in Abraham's bosom, because he loved God. He served God. And the Pharisees, on the other hand, relied on their position and political status to make it. And we see that in the world today, don't we? We see that in the world today among a lot of nations, positions and power and political status is heating up nations today. It really is. And Lazarus relied on God for his provisions, while the Pharisees relied upon themselves. That's the difference. So if they were to admit it, they were no use of God. Now, let's move on to the reality of eternity. Or your bulletin, I think it says the here, afterlife. But it's eternity. And these verses stress the reality of eternity and judgment. These verses here I just read a while ago, especially the ones 22 through 26. And 22 and 23 tell us after both Lazarus and the rich man died. Okay, there's a contrast here, and I want you to see this. And it's made between the two, the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus was taken to the place called Abraham's bosom, which is heaven, while the rich man was buried and went to Hades. So, being in Abraham's bosom, Lazarus was in heaven. Remember the thief on the cross? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Paradise, a bosom, refers to, in the Greek form, heaven. That's how it's worded, but that's what it means. And the term bosom implies comfort. Can you think about that? You know, we find comfort somewhat in this world today when everything is peaceful and so forth. But true comfort, ultimate comfort, is heaven. And verse 25 specifically states that Lazarus was comforted. He was comforted there. And according to verse 24, it's a place that free from the flames of Hades. And in contrast, the rich man was in Hades. Now, in order for us to get it, in order for us to understand it, Jesus mentions it four times, the word torment. It's mentioned four times, and it speaks of a definite pain, anguish, the gnashing of teeth. And in verse 24, the rich man asked for just a drop of water. How many of you have been out working on a hot day? You're not being in a lot of pain or being tormented, but just hot, and you get dehydrated, and you give $100 for a cup of water, right? If it's out of your reach and so forth, because your tongue is sticking to the roof of your mouth, and you say, if I just had some water. Water's the best thing in the world when you have a thirst. And here's a rich man. He was suffering. He was in torment. If he said, if I could just have one drop on my tongue, that would be good. That would be good. Because he said, I am tormented in this flame. So hell is also a place of flame, not to mention extreme thirst that will never be quenched. So another important note here in this parable is that there is a great gulf fix or chasm. In some translation, the different translations use different words, but it's a gulf fix. Verse 26, and this gulf fix reveals a distance between a vast to cross and represents, worst of all, a separation from God. Isaiah 52:9 says, Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. It's all in the scriptures, and we just got to get in here and look and find them according to our lives and how we live it and what it pertains to those that don't know Christ, and we need to let them know the severity of Hades. So Hades also represents separation from others and eternal loneliness. It's terrible. Okay. Here we need to understand. So here's what I want us to understand. And here is a takeaway of this message this morning. Those who have chosen to live for themselves and practice sin are individuals who have rejected Christ. And those who choose to live righteously are those who know Him as their Lord and Savior. It's a personal relationship and have dedicated their life to Him and to serve Him. That's why we're put on this earth. This parable is not about going to heaven for good works versus going to hell or bad works. It's not about works at all. This parable's not. Our works simply reveal our hearts. Works and faith. Our works reveal what truly matters in eternity, which is, do we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? All right, moving on to last point here this morning. We must personally choose Christ. We must. And in these verses, the rich man said, I pray. And some translation says, I beg. I beg you, Abraham. KJV says, I pray. New KJV says, I pray. Or beg. That Lazarus would be sent to warn his brothers so they wouldn't suffer the same fate. Notice that he didn't say, I'm glad my brother will also come here. He didn't say that, did he? No one would ever say that. When our life is over, we will have to face the consequences of how we have lived. We'll stand before a righteous judge one of these days. And have we stored up treasures in heaven on earth? Have we done that? Why, scripture says, seek ye the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all the other things that you desire in life. You seek that first, the righteousness of God. Seek the kingdom of heaven. And that's what these parables are about, the kingdom of heaven. And all the other things in life will be given, but Christ has to be first. All right, in conclusion this morning, we see in this parable is that the only way that we can be worthy of entering into God's kingdom is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. If we are rich in possessions, but not rich towards God, then those worldly possessions prove nothing. And some people, like the Pharisees, believe that since they have numerous possessions, or health, or well-being, that God is a blessing, will bless them, and they are right with God. But that's not true. Meaning in the right standing or having righteousness, and none of that will measure up before God. But if a person does not know Jesus, then he or she is simply not right with God. Or they got to be right with God in order to go to heaven. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way. So the take on this parable today, we must have that relationship with Jesus Christ in order to be comforted in heaven, in order to go to heaven. It's not the works and so forth like that. That's what we do while we're here on earth, because we love the Lord and He's provided gifts in our lives to be able to do ministry and things like that. But our life must be prospectively in order with Him and have that personal relationship with Him. That's the key to our life with the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for these parables. We thank You for the message that we receive from them. There's so much to be shared even today with this particular parable. And I just pray and I encourage in each and every one of us here today will reread this parable here in Luke chapter 16 this morning and just visualize in their mind and in their hearts, realizing that we as Christians have responsibility to others. As this rich man pleaded with Abraham to send Lazarus to warn, but it was too late for him. And once we leave this earth, it's too late. We have to make those decisions while we're here on this earth. We got to have that personal relationship with You here on this earth. Once we lay the rest, it's over. And Lord, Your messages are plain and they're sure. But Your love is far greater than Your judgment. That's why You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why You tell us in John 3:17, that I didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save the world from their sins through Christ Jesus. That's what You desire for each and every one. So anyone here today, those listening, Lord, may we understand, we need that relationship with You, and it needs to be ongoing, working out our salvation day by day, assuring ourselves that we're in the right relationship with You and that we want to help others to have that relationship. Our witness and our testimonies are important. And You put us in the right place and You point us in the right direction. And Lord, we'll be that witness. We praise You and we thank You, Lord, for the invitation that we're getting ready to sing. And our responsibility is just to respond to it and yield and surrender our life to You. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand and sing our hymn of invitation. I gave my life for Thee. That's